Hi, folks. I hope you're having a healthy-ish day. Yes, this is a daily podcast from Body and Soul called Healthy-ish, of course. I am your host, Felicity Harley. Now, we all tell ourselves stories. Some are true, some are just made up. So how do we make sense of them all and how can we understand them for better well-being? Well, to help us out, I'm joined by career coach and speaker Kate James today. She's the author of a plethora of best-selling books, including her latest one called Quietly Confident, and she's here to help us make sense of our stories. If you do like what you hear from Kate, listen in to Extra Healthy-ish, where she shares a roadmap for better confidence. You can catch that wherever you get your podcasts. Kate, welcome back to Healthy-ish. It's been, a few years since you were on this podcast, so thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure, Felicity. Nice to be here.
And a new book. Congratulations.
Very interesting to research, as you can probably imagine.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to, it's obviously a book for introverts, but as we were discussing before we press play, there's so much in there for extroverts as well. So I wanted to focus specifically on the importance of understanding our stories. Now, they are important, the stories we tell ourselves, but they can also be detrimental. Can you explain to us, or just explain to us what stories are exactly and why we need them?
Yeah, I focused on this because I started to see a pattern with clients who were coming to see me for a half-day session. I would start that session by asking them to tell their story. And often at the end of the session, they would say, that was the most helpful thing. So the stories that we tell ourselves are really, they can be related to small life incidents or the bigger picture. And they really make a difference in shaping how we behave in the future and how we think about ourselves. So, for example, if you have had a relationship breakup and the story you tell yourself is that you're not lovable or that, you know, you're not going to be chosen again, it makes a really significant difference as to what you do next, you know, whether you trust people in relationships or, if you've been let go at work, you might tell yourself that, you know, you weren't good enough at that role. But if we look at those things and we try to reframe how we see those stories, we can find both meaning and also courage, you know, by moving forward in a different way. The stories we tell ourselves are just so important. They shape our lives so much and also, you know, the narrative we have about who we are as individuals.
Sometimes it's hard. The stories just happen, don't they? Like, let's take the breakup, for example. You break up with someone, a year later you're still telling yourself that it was your fault when perhaps it takes two in a relationship. But how do you, dare I say, control your stories or how can you reframe your narrative when it feels out of control?
Yes. First of all, I want to normalize the fact that that's what we all do. You know, we all find it hard to move beyond those significant moments that cause us grief or, you know, even trauma. But there's a lot of research that says post-traumatic growth, and, you know, we could say trauma with small t trauma as well. It's pretty traumatic to be, to have somebody or to have a relationship breakdown. But it happens naturally. So the first thing that we want to know is that time actually is a great healer. But secondly, that if we can find someone to share our story with, someone who's a good listener, who can really just witness what we're saying, that in itself can be profoundly healing. And something I discovered for myself when I was writing this book, I sat down and I wrote out my own story. I used one of the exercises that I came across.
Oh, I like it.
Thought, that sounds like an interesting. Yeah, it was a really interesting thing to do. And I just wrote it briefly and it actually helped me to understand things in a different way, to take meaning from things and then to think about, you know, to have that sense that I had the choice to be who I wanted to be in the next chapter of my life. So to think about what will I take from that that's going to be helpful for me moving forward.
There's so much reflection really in what you just said and the importance of just taking time out from the busy life that we all lead and just sitting and thinking about what you've told yourself, whether it be in the last week or month or your whole lifetime.
Definitely, that's right. And I can't remember who says this, whether it's Brené Brown or somebody like her who's incredibly wise, who says, you know, there's a really significant difference in telling ourselves that I made a mistake as opposed to I am a mistake.
Mm.
So, you know, just catching those little stories that we tell ourselves when we get things wrong, and we do, it doesn't matter how sort of self-aware or how evolved we are, we're still going to keep making mistakes. But if we can reflect on the fact that it's normal to get stuff wrong and normal to have messy lives sometimes, but it can still mean that we're good, worthy, worthwhile people, I think that that can be really helpful.
Oh, yeah, the power of self-compassion, isn't it?
Exactly, that's right.
Now, I mean, your book is focused on introverts, as we said in the beginning, but obviously extroverts can get a lot out of it. But introverts particularly, you write that, you know, we or they often harbour a story of not being good enough. Why is this?
So Susan Cain in her book Quiet described what she called the extrovert ideal, which is what we live with in Western cultures in particular. And that is this kind of version of success that we see out there in the world. And it looks a certain way. You know, it's the person who's popular in a group. It's the person who's comfortable to speak up in a meeting. You know, things like status and wealth and power all link into that extroverted ideal. But introverts often don't want those things, yet they feel that because that's where we see a lot of our leadership in the world. You know, that's where we see, it's what we see on big billboards. You know, if ever you saw an advertisement for what a happy life looks like, it might be, you know, a group of people having a party. And we measure ourselves against that. And so I consider myself to be an introvert. And we think that there's something kind of wrong with us because we don't necessarily want the same things, or even, you know, the world doesn't feel the same for us. So we feel that there's something wrong with us right from the get-go.
So what can we do to build that quiet confidence that you talk about?
So I outline four steps in the book. The first is finding a sense of meaning before you do that, the beginning part of the book is an invitation to have you think about what would you do if you were really confident. So to get clear about what you would choose, and I think this requires self-awareness and also maybe unsubscribing to that extrovert ideal and thinking about what is it that actually matters to you. So you start with that clarity, and then you use four tools that I've outlined in the book. One is finding a sense of meaning, the next is connection, third is courage, and the fourth is presence.
Kate, thank you for coming on Healthy-ish.
My pleasure, Felicity. Great to talk to you.
Well, there we go. That's a bit of homework for you after turning off this podcast. Go and jot down some thoughts around your stories, perhaps the one you're telling yourself now about not being good enough, or ones you've told yourself in the past. If you do want more from Kate, grab her book. It is called Quietly Confident and it is out now. I will also leave a link to my last chat with Kate, which was a couple of years ago, but also a good one. If you did enjoy this one, go on, rate and review it, or subscribe to this podcast, or share with a friend. Anything else, head to bodyandsoul.com.au. Follow us on socials, grab our print edition, which is out in your local Sunday paper. And until tomorrow, remind yourself that you are good enough and stop telling yourself that repeat of the story that you're not. And also, oh yeah, stay healthy-ish. Hey, I'm Felicity Harley and I host Healthy-ish, where we chat to experts, influencers and people in the know from around the globe to arm you with the knowledge to make healthier decisions for your mind, body and soul.
I think if we're going to be focusing on health, like sleep is probably the biggest component of that.
I think sleep is the cornerstone.
Like choose the harder option, because I've never woken up and gone, I regret that run that I went at 4 a.m. I've never done that.
Search for Healthy-ish and Extra Healthy-ish wherever you get your podcasts.